It's Labor Day. Labor Day weekend, technically. I'm glad to see you here. And we will pray for those who are out enjoying Sabbath. I want to thank Blair for her tidings article this week. If you didn't see it, I invite you to read it because it talks about labor or work and Sabbath and rest and the relationship of those. And it's really beautifully said and fits well with the scripture readings that we heard today. So I invite you to take a moment when you have a chance to look at that. We are celebrating a national holiday this weekend, and it actually fits fairly well with the scripture readings that we have today. So I want to make some comparisons. Labor Day was established as a national holiday in 1894 and has been celebrated ever since. Canada joined us in that celebration on the same day, and there are Labor Day celebrations around the world on May 1st often, but this has become an international celebration of workers and what they do for their countries and for the world. So we join in that, and it's also become a day of rest for those workers to enjoy with families and friends and to celebrate, and we give thanks for that as well. Labor Day is about more than just work, and even if it isn't, the scriptures that we have today are about more than just work. I want to talk about vocation a little bit. That's another way of thinking about work. Martin Luther, and by the way, just a reminder that we're celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this in about 6 weeks. So I look forward to sharing some of that with you as that time comes closer. But 500 years ago, October 31st, Martin Luther nailed some theses to the wall of the church and started a conversation that became the Reformation. Part of that conversation had to do with vocation. Because at that time, they believed that only the holy orders, like the priests and the monks and those kinds of folks, had holy vocations, and everybody else just sort of did work. Martin Luther said, no, all work is in service of God. All work is vocation. So each of us have our vocation, no matter what it is that we do. But I think we've backslid a little bit from that idea into the idea that what we do for God, like on Sunday or in service of God, like serving at Loaves and Fishes or being a volunteer at Project Home or teaching Sunday school or being an acolyte or a verger or a choir member or those kinds of things, those are all clearly serving God. But what we do during the week in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, that's maybe we think of less as being how we serve God often. I want to challenge us to think of that not as something less than, but something equal to all that we do in service to God. We serve God driving our UPS trucks, seeing patients as a physician or a dentist, waiting tables in a restaurant, growing food on a farm or ranch, going to school and studying or teaching. I invite you to insert your work, your workplace, your place here, and think of that as your vocation. Think of it as the way that you serve God in all you do and how God is glorified there. But Luther also talked about vocations beyond our work. He talked about vocation in terms of our relationships with one another. We have vocations of being spouses and parents and children and friends. Those are also ways that we serve God in all that we do in everyday life. They're holy work as well, when we live those relationships in glory to God. Well, one of the things we're going to be focusing on this fall, and Blair has already started that with her tidings article, is this idea of how we serve God wherever we are in all that we do, and then how do we support one another in doing that. Our scripture readings today, though, point us beyond just vocation or work and even the vocations of our relationships. They point us to God's call in our lives. God called out Moses' name from a burning bush. Moses said, "Here I am." Jesus called anyone who would be his disciples to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. And then Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us what that looks like when we do those things. So I want us to reflect on those three texts just a little bit today. We all know where we work, We all know what we do, what our labor is. We all know our relationships, whether we're children or parents or brothers or sisters or friends. But do we all know what our call is? Do you have a sense of call in your life? That God has at some point called out from that burning bush and said your name, and you said, "Here I am." Actually, in my case, it wasn't so much of a "here I am" moment, although there have been some of those, but it was much more, and it wasn't a burning bush, it was a baptismal font. And it wasn't actually me saying anything, it was my parents carrying me up as a baby and saying, "Here he is." That was my "here I am" moment, the start of my Christian life. And I've sort of, maybe because I grew up in the Lutheran church with this Luther idea of vocation and that all of life is somehow lived for the glory of God, maybe that's part of why I've seen my life that way. That no matter what I'm doing, somehow God is calling me into that. Whether it's being a student, which I've done numerous times in my life, or whether it was working on my father's ranch in South Dakota, I saw that as holy ground and a place to be. Whether it was going to school and becoming a music teacher and teaching in high schools and serving in church and music, I saw that as God's call in my life. And then I felt God call me to become a pastor and to teach at a seminary and to come back and serve with you as a pastor. All of those are moments that I see as God's calls in my life. To leave something, to move on, to do something new, those are all a way that God, has called me. And God has also called you every step along the way. But more than that, God has called me to be a husband and a father and a son and a friend. And God asks that that be holy ground as we live in that those relationships with one another. Those are part of God's calls in our life. Ways that we glorify God in all that we do. Sometimes it's about more than just those day-to-day calls in our lives. Sometimes it's about more than our work. Sometimes it's about even more than our relationships, because sometimes there's a burning bush and God calls your name. Now, when God called out Moses' name, God wasn't calling Moses to continue being a shepherd to the glory of God. That's what Moses was doing. He was watching his father-in-law's sheep. And that is a vocation, that is a call to do that. But God was saying, "Moses, I need you to go lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt." There was something else that God had in mind. Similar for Joseph, for Jesus and his disciples, all those who were following him, Jesus said, "Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me." And he said, "You will lose your life for my sake if you are to find it." And many of those disciples did lose their lives for Jesus' sake. That's a call that goes beyond our everyday normal kind of calls. But it's not more important. That's something that God had in mind for those particular people at those particular moments in their lives. So all of us have these vocations, these "here I am" moments, these relationships that we live each and every day. And in every one of those are opportunities or places of holy ground where God invites us to live God's life in those places, to serve God in those places, to live the kind of relationships that glorify God in those places. But every now and then, God calls us beyond that. And we have the opportunity to once again say, "Here I am." I've seen a few of those places this week. Maybe you have as well. It was profound in some ways, although it shouldn't be surprising to see the responses to Hurricane Harvey. People in their fishing boats going from house to house looking for people to help. Mosques and churches and public places opening their doors for people who needed to have a shelter to come in. Thousands of stories of how people saw a need or heard God's voice say, "Come and help." And they say, "Here I am." Even those people who are raising money for help down there. All kinds of ways that people heard God say, "There's a need here. What will you do? And they say, here I am. I also saw it this past couple of weeks when my wife Lisa and I were with her parents in memory care. We were in Washington a week ago, Olympia, Washington, moving her parents from assisted living into memory care because their dementia has reached a point in both of them that they could no longer get adequate care in assisted living. And I had no idea what that would be like, but after spending a week with them in memory care, I was profoundly touched by the people who had said, here I am, to serve them. It actually, can I ever get through a sermon without crying? I don't know. There are all these young people, like in their 20s, maybe 30s, who were there constantly caring for people, sitting at the dinner table with their hand on theirs and feeding them if that's what they needed, or just helping them find their room if they didn't know where it was anymore. But there was a sense of joy and peace and service and love in the midst of that. Incredible. Now, I don't even know if those people responding to Hurricane Harvey or those young people serving my mother and father-in-law, I don't know if they're Christians, but they're Christ-like. They're doing what God would call them to do. And it becomes holy ground whenever that happens. That's what we're invited to. So God called to Moses. Moses said, here I am. God calls us to us. We get to say, here I am. Jesus turns to his disciples like us and says, deny yourselves, take up your cross, follow me, die if you have to. And we say, here I am. God calls us to be on holy ground every moment of our lives. And sometimes God calls us even to go beyond that. And Paul tells us what that looks like. So I want to invite you to turn to the bulletin, if you will. I want to invite you to dwell in this text from Romans because it's a really important one. And if you would take that in your hands right now, I want to invite us to read this text together, to hear Paul's words to the church in Rome as a letter to us, and to read this letter with one another right now. Because this is what it looks like to be called by God. This is what it looks like to live on holy ground every day and every moment of our lives. So let's read together. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thanks be to God. It's my prayer that we can live into that text, that we can dwell in that and that might dwell in us as we find ourselves every day dwelling on holy ground. Amen.